You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Ready to start talking to your kids about financial literacy? Meet Greenlight, the debit card and money app that teaches kids and teens how to earn, save, spend wisely, and invest with your guardrails in place. Parents can send instant money transfers, automate allowance, and more. Plus, keep an eye on spending with real-time notifications. Join more than 6 million families building healthy financial habits together on Greenlight. Get your first month free at greenlight.com/odyssey. That's greenlight.com/odyssey.
It's Nick Costos and Ken Barkley on You Better You Bet from BetQL.
Great stuff. Pro sports better Rob Pozzola in the last segment. All his thoughts on wild card divisional weekends. Wild card week was last week. And divisional weekend in the National Football League. Ken and I will get back to the NFL coming up 20 minutes from now. 40 minutes from now, Josh Norris, Odyssey Sports Fantasy Football Insider, joins the show with all his picks for divisional weekend, prop picks and otherwise, coming up in the National Football League. But joining us right now on the show, we love having him on. I think he's the absolute best in the business when it comes to breaking down the NBA, giving you DFS thoughts, giving you season-long fantasy thoughts, giving you prop bets, giving you just regular side and total bets in the NBA. For the amazing website, Establish the Run, that, you know, we have Evan Silva on talking NFL. The Establish the Run NBA content is second to none. Host of the Establish the Run NBA podcast, writer for EstablishTheRun.com. Our pal Mike Gallagher on Twitter at Mike S. Gallagher. Mike, welcome back to the show. Nick and Ken, BetQL Network. How you doing, my friend?
Happy to be back. Missed last week. I was really upset about that, but glad Ken's back. Hope Ken had some good time away and ready to talk some basketball for a little baby slate after the monster last night.
Well, yeah, and I think there's a lot from the monster, as you put it, to unpack from last night in terms of like takeaways from specific teams or what we want to do with, you know, DFS or fantasy or prop wise. Going forward, Nick and I spent a ton of time in the opening segments of the show talking about the MVP race. Mike, and I know, you know, like MVP betting may not be like you're a DFS betting prop guy, but, you know, MVP might be the most interesting thing going right now. So I'm just kind of curious, based off what we saw last night from Embiid, Jokic, Luka, Ja, like everyone who played last night, basically having insane stat lines. I'm going to read you the MVP market at Bet Rivers right now. You tell me what you think the most valuable bet is to make in this betting market. So Curry, who did not play last night, played against the Pistons two nights ago, plus 160, Giannis plus 275, Jokic 6-1, Embiid 8-1, Ja 16-1, Luka 50-1. If you had to pick one of those players to be your most valuable bet right now for the MVP, what would you pick?
Was it Luka 50-1?
He is 50-1 currently. We may have talked about that.
Okay, that's probably, I mean, I'm not a big Luka guy. I think he's got a pretty tough path. That's pretty good. If he didn't want to fire long shots, I still think Joker. I mean, ever since I've been coming on the show, I've pretty much been saying Joker MVP the whole time. His stats are too good. And, like, you know, the Nuggets aren't playing terrible right now. They're probably going to do well enough to get in, you know, the hunt, at least for the play-in, in worst case. He doesn't get hurt, which is awesome, which is why I always like him. But, yeah, like basically we saw Russell Westbrook win MVP with terrible efficiency, and this guy's insanely efficient, and he does so many more things that are impactful to winning. So I still think it's Joker. I do agree that Curry is the favorite, and his shooting slump has hurt him a little bit, and we've seen just how valuable Draymond Green is, not just on defense, but on offense. Their offense has really fallen off since Draymond Green went away, and he's a big reason why, because he's so good at reading the game and recognizing teammates. But yeah, I still think Joker, even at 6-1, we were talking about this about a month ago when he was like 16-1, and we were saying it was such a great value, and I still think it is. And he's done nothing but impress pretty much that entire time.
Do you agree, Mike, that like with what Ken was saying earlier in the show in hour number one, which is that Steph Curry at plus 160, like that, there's only one way for that number to go, and it's down. Like we're not talking about Steph Curry like the way we were at the beginning of the season when he was going absolutely nuclear. Now Klay's back. He's dealing with a bunch of injuries here. What about Steph? Like, do you agree with that assessment that like Steph is not the guy that you want a piece of for MVP at this very moment?
Yeah, I agree. Man, Klay is chucking. He's taking so much upside off of Curry's upside himself, just from, you know, shooting the ball so much. But yeah, the Warriors have a pretty good little homestand coming up here. They ran into a kind of a tough schedule with a lot of road tough games, so he might make some hay. But yeah, it doesn't feel like it feels like he's like even money to me, not, you know, like the little bit of plus money. So Yeah, probably would maybe wait a little bit. Maybe until, because again, without Draymond, and they're not going to have Draymond for a little bit. He's got a lower back disc issue that's affecting his calf. That's how bad it is. So, you know, when Draymond's out, this team's probably not going to dominate in the standings like we've seen, and the Suns are kind of put a little cushion on him. So, yeah, I agree that Curry's not that great of a value right now.
Yeah, and Warriors, I think 11.5 against the Pacers the last time I checked. And Mike, we'll obviously get your thoughts at the end of this interview about games tonight and prop angles and everything. Another market that we talked about, and again, just your kind of unique insight here. This, I feel like maybe subconsciously, this actually led me to the bet that I made in this market. Nick and I were talking about it in the first hour of the show. Coach of the Year, you were really on this, I think, a couple weeks ago, maybe even a month ago when we had you on. The idea of like the pricing of J.B. Bickerstaff, the coach of the Cleveland Cavaliers, their incredible success, and how that might lead to him winning Coach of the Year. I want to read you the current Coach of the Year market at our show sponsor, BetRivers, and any updated thoughts that you have. Maybe you still like Bickerstaff at this price. Other candidates who maybe have emerged for you. Taylor Jenkins, the head coach of the Memphis Grizzlies, the favorite at BetRivers, 2-1. Monty Williams of the Suns, +275. Bickerstaff, who we've talked about, +350. Billy Donovan of the Chicago Bulls, 4-1. Of those kind of four co-favorites, still Bickerstaff standing out to you for Coach of the Year? Your thoughts there?
Yeah, of those four, I still think Bickerstaff's the guy. I mean, all like the advanced stats of Cavs have been way better than the record suggests, with point differential and so on, even like the basic stats, but they're just so good. Where does BetRivers have Spoelstra?
Spoelstra's 6-1.
He's 6-1. Yep.
Okay, so that's pretty good. I've seen some books where he's like double digits to one, and that's awesome. But yeah, I still think Spoelstra 6-1 compared to where Bickerstaff is right now is, you know, pretty close. I'm a little biased because I have a lot of Bickerstaff tickets. But yeah, I'd probably pick between those two guys. I just think that, you know, going from the Cavs, who pretty much myself included, and really everyone I follow and respect, we were all worried about the Cavs like breaking like 20 wins, and here they are. Pretty much almost a lock to get in the top six. So I still think it's got to be Bickerstaff. And, you know, I'm still getting pretty good price on him.
Mike, how should we look to play the Lakers moving forward here, right? They lose, obviously, last night on Wednesday night to the Indiana Pacers. Russell Westbrook benched for the end of the game. LeBron still obviously playing really well, but Frank Vogel might be out the door. It just seems like a mess right now. Maybe there's opportunity in the prop market playing fantasy here, or just kind of what you see from the Lakers moving forward here as we careen towards the trade deadline coming up in about 3 weeks here on February 10th.
Yeah, number one for Lakers with betting is whoever is starting is like their worst offensive player, just bet their unders. Like Trevor Ariza unders was like 11.5 last night for PRA. That was like a smash. So sometimes those take a little bit late to come up, but they usually will put the starters out there. That's like my go-to jam when I'm betting Lakers anything. As far as like, I still think that the Lions aren't quite realizing how bad the Lakers kind of are. You know, to lose the way they did to Caris LeVert, you know, losing to them 24-22 by himself. Is crazy, but yeah, that's definitely the prop market is, it's so LeBron centric, and Westbrook, his minutes are coming down, so maybe it kind of level off a little bit with usage. But yeah, I generally don't like, I've actually, because I feel like I've been more successful on props, that I've kind of leaned that way, where I'm just like, okay, if I feel some way, I'll just bet props over a side total. But yeah, it's hard to feel good about the Lakers, and they're going to be, you know, all over the news with the Vogel stuff, but, and also maybe LeBron overs too, because he's playing so much and he feels responsible for this. So I don't really bet big numbers like that, but I could see LeBron overs probably being a good thing to bet on if the matchup's right.
You hear that? Your dog knows spring is coming sooner than you think. Dog walks, dog parks, playing fetch, all the stuff your dog loves to do with you. But the warmer weather also means that fleas and ticks are coming back. Fleas and ticks are in the grass, in the woods, and even on their dog friends. Fleas are an itchy nuisance, can easily get into your home, furniture, and beds, which can be terrible. Ticks are even worse. They're hard to spot, but can carry disease and get your dog really sick. PetMeds has your furry friend protected with the best products to prevent flea and ticks all year long. PetMeds pharmacists connect directly with your vet to save you time and deliver the best products for your pet. PetMeds offers low prices on all flea and tick meds, including NexGard, Simparica, and more. And PetMeds AutoShip helps you save even more with additional discounts on regular shipments of PetMeds, dog food, and other high-quality supplies. So get ready for all the spring fun now. Visit PetMeds.com and use promo code PODCAST to save 40% on your first auto ship order. That's PetMeds.com and promo code PODCAST.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Took like 5 or 6 minutes to get Mike's first jam. The first thing he's jamming currently, the Lakers starter that sort of starts alongside all of their premier players under on their PRA and points and everything, which is an interesting angle to consider, obviously, going forward with the Lakers, like the complete mess that they are, Mike. There's a couple other teams I definitely want to hit on. The first one would be Chicago, because I feel like one unique insight that you always have is how teams are going to adjust to injuries, what our expectations should be going forward. Lonzo Ball opted to have a procedure, I believe, on a torn meniscus in his knee and is going to miss, I think it's 4 to 6 weeks is the timetable that I saw. If you saw a revised or correct one, maybe I was mistaken, feel free to change sort of my projection. But Lonzo Ball is going to be out for a while. The Bulls seem like a team maybe that might slip a little bit in the standings, even just because they played so well recently. What's your take on Chicago, maybe the next 5 to 10 games? What are we going to see rotation-wise? How does Lonzo Ball's absence impact maybe some statistical projections for them? Any thoughts you have on the Bulls here coming up?
Yeah, so somewhat to a surprise, they really use Ayo Dosunmu in the Lonzo Ball defensive role. He was the point of attack defender against Garland. Garland still had a pretty good game, but Billy Donovan talks about him being, quote, in the teeth of the defense, and he was. Like, to be that kind of guard and take on that many minutes on the defensive side and then produce on the offensive side, driving a lot. Like, so Ayo Dosunmu has really just suddenly become a guy that's going to be really valuable for them. So I think once Zach LaVine comes back, I think Dosunmu's minutes can be really, really solid. Kobe White will lose a little bit of usage of ball handling. He was also really aggressive with getting inside. He's really a perimeter guy, but they've been kind of forcing him to score inside a little bit more. And then Caruso, man, my God, this guy could just guard anybody. They're using him to guard like fours all the time. We've seen him guard Julius Randle. He guarded some of the Cavs front court guys last night. He's so versatile. He's like the tiny white version of Draymond, in my opinion. He's just been so freaking good at just like reading the game and organizing the defense, much like the way Draymond does. So all those guys are going to piece it together. We'll see. Like, there's been times. Like, getting Caruso back is, like, huge for them. So I still think they're not going to be quite, you know, as great as they've been losing Lonzo with how valuable he's been. But I think they'll be able to kind of hold up, you know, top four, top five area. But losing Lonzo for that period of time, for a knee issue he's had before with the Lakers, is a little bit concerning. And that timetable is right. Usually meniscus repairs are about 4 to 6 weeks. But that was kind of, like, earlier. So I think he'll probably be more like 6 to 8 with how he ramps up.
You better, you bet. BetQL Network, tremendous Thursday. Nick Costos, Ken Barkley talking the NBA with the great Mike Gallagher from the great website Establish the Run on Twitter at Mike S. Gallagher. Mike, I had the Kyrie Irving point over last night, and I was reading your matchups column yesterday. I know you were pumping up Kyrie in his matchup against Spencer Dinwiddie, and that turned out really well. Kyrie with 30 points last night. What are you seeing from Kyrie Irving and your expectations from the Nets in the absence here of Kevin Durant?
Yeah, he's run into some really good matchups the last couple games. He lit up like Isaac Okoro, who's pretty good. But the thing with the Isaac Okoro, this is kind of a tangent. Like, they don't send help. They're just like, okay, Okoro, you get him. And, like, sometimes he can't guard guys that are, like, that high-end, like the Kyries of the world. So he lit him up. Same thing with KCP. He was guarded by Kentavious Caldwell-Pope. Then he obviously picked up a lot of hard stuff. And, like, again, they don't send help with KCP. And Kyrie ripped him up. But he's such a good one-on-one scorer. And I think he's been awesome. He's going to play so many minutes. Steve Nash has even said, like, we're going to play Harden and Kyrie a ton, and then we'll find spots to rest them. But guess what? You don't need to find spots to rest Kyrie, because that's kind of self-imposed. So, yeah, expect big nights from Kyrie. Certainly without Kevin Durant for months here, I expect him to be, you know, a nightly consideration, especially in certain matchups with teams who don't send a lot of help. He's just insane one-on-one, and usage has been really good. Last year, he scored almost 30 points per 36 minutes with Harden and without Durant, and a pretty good sample. So, yeah, I expect Kyrie to put up some pretty big stats here in the road games.
Mike, I don't think we've I don't even know if we've asked you about the Clippers, like, in any interview we've had with you on the show, but obviously they play a highly entertaining game against Denver last night. Jokic makes the pass to the corner for the three to win the game, basically, which everyone's kind of raving about, but kind of lost in that. And it kind of took me a while to see this too. Like, the Clippers are scoring a ton recently. It seems like they're in a lot of situations playing better than we expect. And this obviously comes after the news, you know, last week, which was really kind of the confirmation of it, but that, like, Kawhi and Paul George probably aren't going to play the rest of the year. It felt like a tanky team at that point. They haven't really played like that, and they're scoring a ton. And obviously, game goes to overtime last night, but 114 through regulation. I have, like, watched zero Clippers games basically the entire season. I've kind of considered them irrelevant. Like, kind of tell our viewers, I'm guessing they kind of view it the same way, like, Clippers, whatever. What has this team been doing? Is there a way to take advantage of them from a betting standpoint? What have you seen?
Well, they were bad. Like, I think from Christmas to this little two-game stretch where they lit up the Pacers and the Nuggets offensively, they were, like, one of the worst offenses in the NBA. over, you know, about a 6-7 game sample, I want to say. They couldn't crack 90, like four games or something like that. So a little bit of a fluke. They did go up against the Pacers are terrible, but the Pacers without Turner, that was, you know, kind of a gimme for them to go off. Denver didn't quite have it. Reggie Jackson and Zubac just killed them in pick and roll. They couldn't stop them. So I don't really buy them this last two-game sample. They're going on a little road trip right now against some pretty tough defenses. Sixers, Knicks are playing good defense. Obviously, Miami, Charlotte all of a sudden, the last, I think, like 6-7 games, Charlotte has the number one defense in the NBA after they were, like, routinely 30th. So that's kind of just a side note. But, yeah, I wouldn't read too much into it. They're really hard to bet as far as, like, props goes, just because Ty Lue has such a short leash. If things go bad and you're betting overs on any of their guys, and it's like, you know, 15 points where, you know, a coach may put a guy back in, he won't. He'll just keep his second unit guys out there. So, yeah, it's a really tough spot to bet. They're so Jekyll and Hyde-y overall. But, yeah, it's still tough. I'm not really buying this last two-game output is the conclusion, though.
Mike, I want to close with this. Just get your take on tonight's abbreviated slate. Three games on Thursday night in the NBA. We got the Suns as 2.5-point favorites on the road at the Mavs, total 216.5. My Knicks, 4-point favorites at home against the Pels, total 209.5. And the Warriors, 11.5-point favorites against the Domantas Sabonis-less Pacers, total 218. Any bets, any prop thoughts for the three games on Thursday night?
Yeah, props are tight here. A couple things that just caught my eye was I like betting a lot of Clay under rebounds assists. He's still going to have a minutes cap. We'll see if that minutes cap comes up. It was 24 minutes. Added that, they may not go full, like, to the minutes cap. We saw him come a little bit short in the last game they blew that out. So there's a little bit of blowout equity there. So I do like his RA unders. LeVert rebounds unders kind of caught my eye. I always like Julius Randle overs. I don't think Julius Randle gets Herb Jones, who is my beloved young goat here at defense. I was expecting to see a lot of Josh Hart. So I think Julius Randle is going to play a ton and a pretty good better pace of spot against a defense that could struggle to probably get a lot of points. So I think Randall's over dimes is interesting as well. As far as like sides and totals, under on the Suns, Mavs seems like the way to go. Both these defenses are awesome right now. Mikal can maybe neutralize Luka a little bit. And then the Mavs are playing lights out defensively lately. Dorian Finney-Smith is just insanely good at limiting perimeter guys. He'll take a little bit off of Booker. So these star players could really struggle to maybe like the under in that situation there. As far as like sides go, I don't know. I can never bet on the Knicks. I'm sure you know they're so hard to predict with just their starters laying eggs and stuff. So I don't really feel great about any of those guys. The Warriors should roll, big number, but Brogdon's questionable now, so they could be real shorthanded unless LeVert saves them. On a back-to-back, too, that could be tough. So, you know, don't feel great about any of the sides.
Mike, you're the best, man. We love having you on the show. We appreciate it. The breakdown is second to none. The website is Establish the Run, the podcast, the Establish the Run podcast, and on Twitter at Mike S. Gallagher. My friend, good luck with all the bets tonight, and we look forward to catching up with you again real soon here on You Better You Bet.
Thanks, guys. Talk to you next week.
Right, Mike Gallagher joining us here on You Better You Bet. Hey, he just locked himself into next Thursday, by the way.
Yeah, absolutely. Are you going to bet the Knicks tonight? He can't bet the Knicks. Are you going to bet the Knicks?
No.
I think they might be good tonight.
You know
I haven't bet yet.
Maybe.
Oh, geez.
All right, on the other side, projected spreads for Championship Sunday in the National Football League.
It's You Better You Bet from BetQL. Download the BetQL app today to get the latest analytics to help you beat the sportsbooks.
I'm Trey Wingo.
And I'm Kevin Frazier. We're teaming up on a new weekly sports podcast from Wondery, Alternate Routes.
As former SportsCenter anchors and current sports obsessives, we're consumed by all the what-if questions that make being a sports fan so excruciatingly fun.
If you're like us, then you also live and die on the fallout from every drop pass, busted draft pick, and game-changing play.
Or play call.
Intercepted at the goal line by Malcolm Butler.
Sorry, Marshawn, still too soon. Each week on Alternate Routes, we'll take a flashpoint in sports, break down what actually happened, then explore every alternate scenario and the ripple effects it would have caused.
Follow and listen to Alternate Routes on the Wondery app or wherever you get your podcasts. You can listen ad-free by joining Wondery Plus in the Wondery app or on Apple Podcasts.
I mean, the possibilities are limitless, Kevin.
What if Portland drafted Michael Jordan?
What if the NBA never vetoed the Chris Paul trade to the Lakers?
That's a butterfly effect.